Oh.
That's all right. Amen. Nah. No, can't do that now.
Yeah, I'm not killing, but I shoot you.
That's right. No, can't do that now. But, you know, I was really, I mean, thinking really about something to really to speak on tonight. And I believe the Lord has given me something here in the book of Ephesians, and it's chapter 5. And it's not but a few verses, 14 through 20. And if we'll listen real closely, I promise you I'll let you out by midnight. But now if you hurry up and listen real closely, I'll let you out sooner than that. But now, Shepherd's back at home. Oh, no.
You get Christy
there, so today.
She's home crippled, remember.
That's right, she's home crippled. And she has to wait for us to get there before she can do anything.
If you don't
hurt
get home, he might be crippled.
That's right, I will be crippled.
You'll be crippled.
Yep. But but here in chapter 5 in the book of Ephesians, in verse 14, chapter 5 of Ephesians, in verse 14. And it says right here, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, thou wherefore is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we thank you for the reading of thy word tonight. And Lord, we just pray, Father, that you will just give me a portion of, Father, what you want me to speak upon tonight. And Father, I need your power from on high. I need your unction, God. And Lord, I pray that you will touch these lips of clay. Touch my voice this evening, Father. And touch my heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, there's up here in verse 16. Verse 16 of chapter 5 in Ephesians. It says, redeeming the times because the days are evil. What Paul is saying right here, he said, we must remember The times that the Lord has for us, we must remember all the times that we have together. That when we're together, that we can think about the things of the Lord. But it tells us also, it says, redeeming the times because the days are evil. Redeeming the times is the redeeming the times of today. Because on today's date, we see a rampant of evil that's going around. Somebody this morning or somebody tonight brought it up about the out in Oregon where that individual just come in and just brought terror within the room, classrooms of the individuals there and asked them were they a Christian or not. Now, they didn't know what kind of answer he wanted. They didn't know if he wanted the answer, no, I'm not a Christian. But they wanted to know, are you a Christian? And some of them said yes. And when they said yes, said, now within the next few seconds, you will die. You will be there in heaven. He did not believe in God. He said there was no such thing as God. He is one of these atheists. Well, if he's one of these atheists, why don't you leave the Christians alone? Why do you have to go to where the Christians are? If you don't believe in God, then don't hang around them. Because as long as you hang around the people that love the Lord, they're going to eventually show some way or another that they love the Lord. Sorry, I'm sorry, devil. Forget it. I know you don't want me to speak tonight, but I'm sorry. But everyone he went to, he asked them that question. And where he wounded some individuals when he first come into the classroom, because he was coming into classroom shooting. But what he coming out for, he wanted to know who was a Christian and who wasn't a Christian. Well, I'm glad to say that there were some Christians there and they made a stand. They took a stand. They asked them, were they a Christian? They weren't ashamed of it. But I want to ask you a question. And I would love to have a house full of people and I would ask the same question. How many would say that they are Christians? If a gunman happened to come in here, would we say we're Christians? Would we be ashamed of God? You know, Peter, at times, he was ashamed of him.
He did not come out and say he was ashamed, but he was ashamed because he let people know around him. And he told them, he said, I don't remember him. No, that wasn't me with Jesus. That was somebody else. So what was he doing? He said he was ashamed of himself in being in his same company with Jesus. He said he was ashamed of what Jesus was. And all of that took place. And even though that Peter was ashamed of Jesus, Jesus was never ashamed of him. Because Jesus used Peter to preach one of the greatest messages that there ever was preached. Now, can you imagine Peter? And it doesn't say, I haven't read it, and it doesn't say no way in there. But I'm just putting what I would think. And if I was in Peter's shoes, and if I'd have done the same thing and said the same thing as what Peter said, that I didn't know him, but yet I walked with him. But I didn't want to let the people that was around me to know that I knew Jesus. But then, when in the book of Acts, when it come up, and when he said, Peter, you're going to preach. I said, Jesus, what do you want me? I've done everything I can just to separate myself from you. You know I have. The people that I even go around with when I ain't with you, they don't think that I ever knew you. Because I've told them I didn't. But then Peter went on and he preached one of the greatest messages that the devil was preached. Because the message that Peter preached brought about the church. Because after that, I think it was chapter 3 or chapter 4, is when the church was established. Chapter 4, I think it is when the church was established. And I think in chapter 3 or chapter 2, one or the other, in the latter part of chapter 2, and maybe it is sometime in chapter 3 of the book of Acts, is where the Father there in heaven knew that Peter was going to need some help in establishing the work of God. It says right here in chapter 2, is speaking about Pentecost, Peter's first use of the keys, the gospel given to the Jews. The gospel was given to the Jews that day. But Peter, a man
that, yes, surrendered unto God that day. The reason he had to surrender, because he had to surrender his complete body, his complete life unto God. He had to say, God, here I am. I know what you want me to do, but I cannot do it. You do it. And God did. Not only God brought about where Peter preached to the Jews, but it says in verse 5 of book of Acts, Acts chapter 2 says, and thou were dwelling at Jerusalem, the Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noise abroad, the multitudes came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. His own language. So right there tells us that it wasn't just Peter there preaching, but also there was other individuals there that was translating the words that Peter was saying and preaching that day. They was translating the words into the language of their own people, where they could be able to understand it. And we must also do the same thing. I think sometimes the people don't understand what God is trying to say, because the man of the Lord don't even know what he's trying to say. But it said right here in verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? The Holy Spirit was revealed that day. The Holy Spirit was revealed to man that day. Because the other people that came out from other parts of the country, they did not know what was being said at first. But then, their leader at the time could take and translate the Word of God into the language that they understood. And they would step forth. And they would be able to take the words of God and translate it to the people. I think that's what we, and I'm just as at fault of anybody else. That I will just get up here and just preach, and in the morning we'll read scripture. But when that happens, it happens out of ignorance. But I've come to learn, as long as I stay in the scripture, as long as I read the scripture, that I have to depend on God through the precious Holy Spirit to give me what that verse is saying. Yes, it may say one thing to me, and then it will say one thing to you. But it will all get around together and say the same identical thing. Hey, Shelby,
how about taking this and give me a little more water? Now, when it is night, the devil don't want me to preach this message on Reagan.
But with the Lord's help and with the Holy Spirit's help, I'm going to do my part in trying to finish it. My voice may give completely out in doing it, but that's okay. But we see where right here in the book of Acts that we see a symbol of the Spirit. We see where it's a symbolic of God the Father. And we also have, in the words of the Scripture, we have looking at towards the oil that represents the Holy Spirit. And we also have also what is mentioned also here is water. We can see that in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9. Then we can see where the wind takes effect. And we know what the wind represents. We can't see the wind, but we can so certainly see the outcome of what the wind is and what it does. Same way with the Holy Spirit. We cannot see the Holy Spirit. I cannot see the Holy Spirit with these eyes that I have on my physical eyesight. I can't see the Holy Spirit. But with my spiritual eyesight and also my natural eyesight, I can see the effect of the Holy Spirit. When my spiritual eyesight, I know the Holy Spirit is doing the work. But with my natural eyesight, I can see what's happening by the Holy Spirit. So we have the symbol of the Spirit, of the oil and water and the wind. But not only that, we also can see where some of the Holy Spirit is fire. We know that fire purifies. You can take a piece of metal and you can take it and put it over a coal fire. And you can leave it there. And as long as you leave it there, where the heat of that fire starts out red, but then it ends up blue. Why will it end up blue? Because of the purification of the metal. Because it's got all the crud off and all the imperfection off of that metal. And it brings about purity. And you know what purity means. Purity means, it means of God. It means the love of God. It means a whole lot more than we can come up with. Also, it means something about heaven. And I didn't know that all this at one time about the fire. About when you put a piece of metal on it and then it just comes on and it just gets it starts out a little red at the top. Then on down at the bottom towards it becomes a kind of yellow. So you got yellow and you got red there. But then after all of that has been got down to the metal part, to where you can take that piece of metal, and if you could take it and hold it in your hands, in both of your hands, you could take it and twist that metal any way that you wanted to twist it. Why? Because it's done got soft. That's like the heart. A heart sometimes will get so hard that nothing will touch it. Nothing will touch it to the point that will bring us back to the altar. But I believe this. The melody of the songs that are sung about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, and about heaven, and about hell, it can soften our hearts. It can soften our hearts to when it comes down, when we hear the preaching of the Word of God. Then that's when the Holy Spirit can start wooing and moving around that individual's heart, where they will step out by faith. And they will make that first step. And when they make that first step, is a step of faith. But as soon as they make that first step, I mean, rest of it's easy. Why? Because someone else has grabbed a hold to the hand and leading them to the altar. Who is that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in doing its work. And then the Lord Jesus coming on the scene and grabbing their hand and leading them to an old-fashioned altar. But yet, even though the Lord Jesus Christ comes and takes a hold of their hand, after the Holy Spirit has brought conviction unto the heart, and where the heart has been softened. And even when the Lord Jesus will take the hand and lead them all the way to the altar,
That's all the Lord Jesus can do. He will not beg them to get saved. He will not tell them, you have to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this. Mm-mm. He's not going to scare them into it. He will just say, you've got a choice now. Either that you can accept me and what I've done for you and go to heaven, or you can reject me and still follow the devil. And if you was to die, you'd end up in hell. I'm not the one that's going to keep you out of heaven or hell. It's your choice. It's your choice if you want to go to heaven. And it's your choice if you want to go to hell. I'm not going to make you. I'm not going to drag you to heaven by your feet and by your legs and by your hands. I'm not going to drag you there. See, some people think just because God is a God of love and God wants to see everyone saved. Yes, He wants to see everyone saved. But everyone's not going to get saved. The Bible even teaches that. But He wants people to get saved. He wants everyone to come back to the Father. To go back to Him. Because see, we was born to serve God. We was born to live with Him forever. And that's where a whole lot of these other preachers, they get about, well, you predestined. Some is predestined to go to heaven and some is predestined to go to hell. I disagree. Either you're predestined to go to heaven or you're predestined to go to hell. One or the other is now you're not going to, this few is not going to go to heaven and this few is going to go to hell. It's not the way God works. God's not going to put it off on Himself. And God's not going to, and nobody's going to come back and say, God, when you get to the white judgment seat of Christ and they don't see the loved ones there, they don't see the friends there. And when they don't see Him, they're going to say, well, God, where's my friend at? He didn't accept me. He didn't ask me to save the soul. So they're not healed. They said, well, God, that's not what I understood. I understood that You was a God of love, you know, a God of mercy, and a God of long suffering. God will say, child, you're right. I'm all of that. But you cannot, don't put the blame on me. Because they wouldn't accept me. That's one of the reasons He did not say, you're saved. Because if that was the case, why would we need the local church? If that was the case, why would we need the hospitals? If that was the case, why would we need the nursing home? We wouldn't even need the TV evangelist, which majority then are so corrupt anyhow. We wouldn't need them. Why? Because God said, well, I'm, you know, if you die, you're going to heaven. The only way we'll go to heaven is when we get inspected by the Father there. And we're going to have the blood of His Son on us. You know, I've been listening to people here lately, and you can learn a whole lot from people if you just listen and what they're saying. And if you, sometimes it will amaze you in what they're saying. And they believe it. But a majority of the stuff that they say is no truth to none of it. But yet they believe it. The time that we're in. Look at the time that we're in. Did anyone here this here tonight ever thought that the United States would be just like Sodom and Gomorrah? I would have never thought it. I'd have never thought it. Why? Because we have the Word of God. Why? Because God has blessed this country. God has blessed every stage of this country. But yet, people still have turned their ears away from God. Me and my wife and Sister Huff was in our car this evening, coming down here this evening, and we was talking. And I believe this, that it's going to come a time, and I don't believe it's going to be all that long. It could happen before the end of this year. Something is going to happen in the United States of America that what God is going to give to people. A third, a fourth chance. We see where back in 2000, I believe was the first chance, when everybody was on the rampage about the 2000, where that everything was going to be out of whack. One old time, the computers couldn't keep up with it because they didn't have the time within a computer system. So the computers was going to go haywire. Or it could have been 9/11 in 2001. Could have been the first incident. But God seen where He wanted the people to come back to Him, so He brought down havoc upon this country.
And how many people in 2001, after September of that same year, how many people did you see coming to church? How many people did you see come in? No doubt you saw some come in. That maybe some you've seen maybe one at a time. Where we was going to church at the time, I seen people come in that had been probably 15, 20 years since I've seen them. But they come in, you know why they come? They got scared. They got scared at what was happening. So they got scared. Them being scared was, it won't change the fact. It won't change nothing. What they needed to do, they needed to come to the altar. They need to get saved. They need to surrender their life to the Lord. They need to say, God, here I am. Anything that you want. And I believe if they went a little farther and said, God, anything you want, you have me. Everything that I got is yours. And Lord, and if I don't keep that promise, you take everything away from me anyhow. See, they won't do that. They just come to church because they're scared. Why? They're scared that the world is coming to an end. Well, the world is not going to come to an end that way. The only way where people are going to see where the end of time takes place, and where there's not going to be no more earth as we know it, is when the saints of God has gone on home. And where there's no insight, where there's no feeling, there's no symbol of the Holy Spirit. Because why does the Holy Spirit want to be here with all that havoc going on? Hey, they wouldn't take him at his word, they wouldn't believe him and trust him when they could. Now, but yet they're gonna trust him, they're gonna believe him now. Because they didn't got scared? Nah. I think that's just a cop-out with a whole lot of them.
Time getting away from me. It's done got away from me. But time is right here on us. And I'm just, I'm this as far as me just saying this, that I think something else is going to happen. I'm just saying that because I don't know. I don't know what's liable to happen. But right now we're having too many nations right now that's speaking out against the President of the United States of America. And what he's allowed the president of Russia to do. He is mentioned. Russia is mentioned in the Old Testament. Russia is mentioned in the last book of the Bible.
So they thought that they've got rid of Russia. But see, we don't have a president now like Ronald Reagan. Because if we had a president like Ronald Reagan, I do not believe America would be in the shape that it was in. But the reason we don't have Ronald Reagan is because the Word of God is staying with the timetable that God had set in motion. Over 6,000 years ago, He set in motion. It's coming to pass. I'm going to heaven. I hope and pray each and every one of you are. I don't know your heart. I hope and pray you are. And I feel like you are with your ability, which I've heard y'all say in testimony. But let me ask you something. What about your family? What about your family? Do they ever talk to you about the Lord? Have you ever heard them say anything about how much they really love Him? People's going to talk about what they love. Now, me and Brother Roy Newton, we can get together. We can go down. We can go down and say, we're going to drink us a cup of coffee. And we can sit there and we'll start talking. And we'll start talking about the Lord. The next thing I know, we'll take a sip of the coffee and the coffee's done got cold. We'll have to go and pour that out and get a new brand new cup. But we can sit there for hours and talk. Talk about something that we love. We're not going to have no singing tonight. I think we're going to just you stay at your seat or wherever and you just pray, but we just need to pray that we will do something special for God because of all the special things that He's done for us. Amen. And He's been brought into our life. He's been brought a whole lot of special things. He's been brought a whole lot of special people into my life. So I should be able to say, Lord, says, allow me this week to do something special for You. And what would it be that You would want me to do this week that is special to You, Lord? Not just special to me, but special to You. As each one of us bow our heads, we just want to ask the Lord to help us to do something special for the Lord. Because He means so much to us. This little number of people that we have here at Faith it means so special to me. It does. I would love to see where people would just start coming in. And people would just come in and start walking out, saying, "Preacher, I need to get saved." I'd love to be able to come one Sunday and see where we got visitors come in. And I wouldn't even have an opportunity to even preach, because the people would be here on the altar praying. And Father, Lord, we ask this morning, this evening, Lord, that if when you do send them people our way, ever who they may be, Father, Father, help us as individuals that we will not be like Peter and say that, "No, it wasn't me. I was not talking to the Lord yesterday. I was not visiting this past week for the Lord. I was not doing anything for the church." Don't let us be that way, Father. But Father, as people come in, even the people that's already been here, but Father, that has forsaken the house of God, place it upon our hearts that we would just step out by faith and come to an altar and say, "Lord, we want to do something special for you today." We want to bring up the individuals that's come in and visited with us this morning. We don't know anything about them, but Lord, you know everything. Speak to our hearts, Father, where you can be blessed today. That's what we need. If we just, when people do come in, when visitors do come in to the services, we don't even have to wait till when I get through preaching and then when I call for the invitation time. We don't have to wait till then to come to the altar. But we can come to the altar as soon as the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. We need to step out by faith and come to the altar to where we can bring up the individuals and say, "Lord, we're so thankful this morning. We're so thankful tonight, Lord, that you've touched somebody's heart and you've brought them this way. Father, we want to bless you today. We want to bless you tonight, Father, in a special way. And bring in the individuals to the forefront of your mind. Father, I do not need a thing, but these people, they may need help. Financial help, they may need spiritual help. Their hearts may be hurting. and they are longing for thee. Father, for where you can be blessed with the special blessings, go to them now and just tell them how much you love them, Lord. And Father, and after service, we'll just go to them and we'll tell them how much we appreciate them coming by and stopping in. And we'd love them, if it's anything at all that we can do for them. If we can do it as a church, as an individual, as a body of people, lay it upon our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank y'all for coming out. I appreciate, and I love each and every one of you.